I'm going to ask that you remain standing for the reading of the gospel as you are able. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Because she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we talked about an almost peace or an altogether peace, and we lit the candle of peace, and today we light the candle of hope as we talk about what the difference is between an almost hope and an altogether hope and what that means for us. All of this being rooted in John Wesley's sermon, Almost Christian. John Wesley understood very deeply what it meant, what the difference was, to be an almost Christian and altogether Christian, because he spent his younger years as an almost Christian. In his early years of ministry, as active as he was, he looked like he had it all together. And that's what an almost Christian is. On the outside, we are doing all the right things. We are saying all the right things. And he did. And he worked very, very hard at it for the purpose of his own salvation, for his own relationship with God, that he would feel the assurance that he was good enough to be saved. But there was a moment in John Wesley's life when he's sitting in a Bible study listening that he describes it as his heart was strangely warmed. That he felt the assurance of God's love that he had never felt before, that assurance that he would have been striving for all his life. And something happened within his heart that heart of stone became a heart of flesh. And he was no longer concerned about his own salvation. He was set free from that. And though on the outside, from that moment on, he didn't look any different. He still did the exact same things that he always did. But he would tell you it was for a different reason. Before, he was doing it for himself, for his own salvation. But after that moment, the reason why he did what we did, even though it was exactly the same as what he always did, the reason behind it was different. It was because of this love that fell into his heart that was what he calls shed abroad for all people, that he did the things that he did now for their salvation, for their well-being, for their relationship with God, for their life, for them to have abundant life and to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why he did what he did. And this is what John Wesley is talking about when he talks about what it means to be an almost Christian and what it means to be an altogether Christian. So when we talk about hope, we know what hope is. We encounter hope day in and day out. We hope for the littlest things in life. Like, how many of you have hoped for a good parking place? Yeah, you know you have. And you're like, oh, and you get it. You get the good parking lot. And you're like, woohoo, the parking lot gods are shining upon me. Or the parking lot angels, or whatever you want to call them. You know, we're pretty silly about it. But we hope for really silly things. Right? But then there are these moments of deep, poignant hope. I think of those moments that I've been in the hospital. Julie Busby and her husband were in the earlier worship service, and I think about that moment we were in the hospital room waiting to hear about Tanner after Tanner was in that awful, awful Jeep accident. Well, actually, it was a truck accident at a Jeep event. Wondering what that meant and holding on to hope in that moment. And her moving so quickly from hope and the antithesis of hope, which is despair. And we move through those in life. Last week we talked about life is like a box of chocolates. At one moment you are walking to your car and the next moment you're flat on your face. Right? Those moments of just rolling with the punches. Those moments when hope doesn't come to fruition. I can think of those moments that I've been at hospital sides. Waiting and hope slipping away. Even though hope of resurrection remains, it's not on this side. And having to come to terms with that loss and that heavy heart. There is a scripture in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. We know what it means to hope. We know what it means to despair. But this longing, I want you to think about those times when your longing, true longings were fulfilled. And the scripture calls it, it's like a tree of life. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And what joy wells up inside of us when hope is fulfilled. And what a gift that is. This almost hope is a lot of times for ourselves. I think about my own life. I've had my own hopes and dreams for myself, for my marriage, for my children. But when I look outside of myself and my immediate family and all of those I'm concerned with, even outside of St. John's, because I have hopes for this church. And I see the brokenness of the world. And that's what this Advent, this time of waiting is. It's that understanding that Christ has come, his kingdom has been inaugurated, but it's not quite fulfilled yet. We're in this in-between space. To realize that I encounter brokenness in my own life, I can encounter brokenness in my marriage, in my children, but also in the world, this hurt that's in the world. And Christ calls us out to be beacons of Christ's presence. We talked about peace last week. We talk about what that means, hope for this week. But if we are to be beacons, to be carriers of justice and mercy, and what exactly that looks like, our eyes and our ears have to be open to the outcry of what's going on in the world. I've wrestled and thought about and gotten around other clergy to brainstorm about what it means to have a homeless population in Texas City. Do you realize that there's a homeless population in Texas City? Yeah. What does that mean for us who are to bring hope into the world? This is the altogether hope, not just an almost hope that we care for what is immediately around us in our immediate circumstances, but a hope for the world that this ingathering, this togetherness, that Christ not only loves us who are in the church, Christ loved the world. God loved the world so much that he would send Jesus Christ, that he would come. God would come in the flesh for the world. There is hope for the world in that very statement, in that very scripture that we are supposed to be carrying out into the world. The one that gets me all the time, that overwhelms me, I mean, and you, we all have our own passions, and we think, how can I make a difference? Just a little bit, just a teeny tiny difference in that. I mean, we think about homelessness, but what about the sex trade industry? What about poverty in pockets all over the world? What about clean water? What about teaching people how to grow their own food? When the Bible talks about mercy and justice, it's not a justice so much talking about punishment. Sometimes it is, but justice also is a redemption of people's circumstance, where God is calling the whole world to God's self, to this shalom, this healing, this wholeness, this incorporation of everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what political agenda they are, no matter what economical status are, whether they are able to provide their own food or not, whether they have housing or not, that God loved each one so much. The scripture tells us that those who have a greater responsibility. So when we talk about moving from an almost to an altogether, it is an encompassing, a broadening of our understanding of what these concepts are as we light these candles and what we expect Christ to be doing in the world through us. There's another scripture I want to share with you that comes from Jeremiah 29:11, which some of you, this might be your life verse. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God is continually planting hope within us, casting out our despair so that we can move forward. And it's not just for us, it is for the entire world. That this plan of goodness, all good things come from God. And I've told you this before, that sometimes we are the answer to prayer. Those who carry Christ in their heart, those who are inspired by the Holy Spirit, are often called to be the answer of someone else's prayer, just as someone else probably has been an answer to your prayer. We have lots of opportunity here at St. John's to bring hope into the world. There's an angel tree out there still with tags on it. I want you to imagine these families who have struggled, who aren't able to provide for themselves, some of them who are living in the most atrocious living circumstances that you could ever imagine. And we're used to providing gifts for the children, and we get really excited about that. But what about those parents who haven't had a Christmas gift in a really long time? That receive a Christmas gift this year and they're remembered. Just the idea of being thought of by someone, how much hope that gives. We're not just giving gifts to these families, we're giving hope. You were thought of this year. We may not know your name, but here's an expression of God's love. This year, we're also providing gifts to the Carol, all the inmates in the Carol Young unit. It's a combined unit of a women's unit, incarcerated women, and a hospital unit. It's about 460 people. A lot of these folks, not only forgotten by their families, but they're rejected by their families. They don't get anything in their commissaries. I want you to think about years and years of watching maybe some of your friends in prison getting commissary, but you haven't gotten any in a really, really long time. And here comes this little gift. It seems like nothing. It's a couple of bottles of shampoo and conditioner, a bar of soap, some chapsticks, and a pair of socks. But to think, oh my gosh, somebody thought of me this Christmas. Somebody remembered me. And knowing that somebody hadn't thought of me in years, to know that you're behind bars and you're completely forgotten. There's a powerless, a lot of times, that coincides with hope and hopelessness. A lot of times thinking that nobody cares. Sometimes it's just an action to another human being that says, I care, I see you, I know you're there, that will spark hope in somebody. This Monday, we're bringing little goodie bags to Elmcroft, and we're bringing our Mother's Day Out kids with us so that they will sing Christmas songs to them and give them hugs, and we'll deliver little gift bags to them. It's hard to imagine that some of those folks feel pretty forgotten. But it's that message. We remember you. We love you. We know you're there. Just that little spark of hope. Another opportunity is the Good Samaritan Work Day. Wow, some of these stories of the houses that we go to are unimaginable. Yeah, some of them are still recovering from Harvey. Some even past that. I had the opportunity to speak to a widow who had just lost her husband. Her son lives out of town, and she feels so powerless. Everything is overgrown in her house. And just listening to her stories was just overwhelming. But to know that we could just go over there and do just a little bit, to give just a little bit of hope to her. It's not the actual action or the actual gift, but what the little that it symbolizes does so very much. You know, we look outside and our trees, the leaves are slowly falling off, right? Pretty soon they'll all be off because we have a fall just like that, right? The grass is beginning to fade. The world around us is beginning to slow down. Every year it does this. Every fall and every winter, the world slows down. And we forget to watch and be a part of it. to breathe it in. Instead, we fight it. We wonder why we're so tired in the holidays, because we're part of creation. We were created to slow down during winter, not pick it up. Right? Yeah. That the culture tells us the exact opposite of what we were created to do right now. The culture says, speed it up, buy as many Christmas presents as you can, go to many as holiday parties as you can, and in between that, get your lights up inside and outside and show your Christmas spirit, by golly. Right? And there's a lot of pressure. And so we go around crazy. Our whole culture is crazy this year, at this time of year. And we forget, we get blinded. That's a message that we are receiving from the very nature that God created, is to slow down and listen. Listen and be filled and renewed, so that your eyes will be open, so that your ears will hear the beauty that's all around you, that God places all over you, but also those places, to be open to those places that mercy and justice need to be rolling down like mighty waters. Those mighty waters are you and me. All those who believe in a loving God, all those that have Christ resurrected and alive in those, all those who are inspired by the Holy Spirit, bringing about justice and mercy. But instead, we get caught up in what culture says, this is what you do. And God is giving us a completely different message. Be aware and listen, so that you are ready to go out into the world to be beacons of peace and hope. That the greatest gift that you can give is that gift of peace, that gift of hope. So your homework this week is to think about how hope has worked in your life. Those moments that hope was fulfilled and longing was fulfilled. When you felt like life was just coming alive in you. And what that means to give that gift to someone else. That there are a lot of people who are living with hope delayed. And they are in despair. Their hearts are sick. And you carry the gift to give them hope for another day, another week, another month. That you give the gift of Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Phil and Debbie get back.